Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations. The show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. We can book all your Disney travel needs. Contact us at americantouristtravel.com. And it's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to rent any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at David's Vacation Club Rental or DVCRequest.com. And now on with the show.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Good morning.
And we're also joined by our good buddy, John Peters, who is not in Disney World today. Happy New Year, John. How you doing?
Happy New Year. However, next Sunday. Next Sunday. So you got 1 week without it, but next week.
I don't even want to go on there. And we're also joined by our good buddy, Bob Sycon, who's actually home and not in the bar this morning. Happy New Year, Bob.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, yesterday, Denny texted me at 10:45. They're headed off to see the Wizard. So did you make it to the ball drop, though, Bob?
Absolutely not. Asleep at 8 o'clock.
You were asleep at 8?
In my defense, we were at the bar because the Georgia Tech game was starting at 11 o'clock.
There you go. I knew you had a reason for it. But did you have a good lunch, at least? Did you get to enjoy lunch
absolutely.
At this bar? There you go.
We had a couple of beers, watched a little bit of football, came home, kicked back, had a couple of pizzas, and we were good for the day.
You had a heck of a day. What about you, Dan? Did you make the ball?
No. I made it to about 11 o'clock. I did wake up and share Happy New Year with the wife, and then just right back to bed. So, yeah, those years are long gone for us. We used to do a whole thing and have people over, but New Year's has become just a get ready to, head into the doldrums of winter and the 8 to 12 weeks we have, at least up here in the Northeast, of nothing really to look forward to.
Happy cold year.
Well, yes.
You didn't stay up for that wonderful rendition of the lip syncing that Mariah Carey did on ABC last night?
Yeah, no, I haven't watched any of those shows in many years. She was lip syncing, though.
Oh, man, it might have been the worst performance I've ever seen. I thought Saturday Night Live took over ABC last night. I thought it was a joke what was going on there. Well, what about you, Johnny? Did you make it to midnight?
Now, I spent the day doing yard work, taking decorations down. My son actually had to, believe it or not, mow the grass after we raked. So we spent probably 5 or 6 hours working outside yesterday. And I watched the 2 football games and crashed. That was it. So.
Yeah, I would give anything to cut the grass, I think, right now. Wouldn't you, Dad?
I know. That actually sounds good, believe it or not. I agree with you, Doc.
I actually stayed up. I seen the ball drop. We had a good day yesterday. We made my wife, we made stuffed mushrooms. We made a bunch of hors d'oeuvres, and then I made filet mignons for late dinner because we had hors d'oeuvres around 3 o'clock and had a few drinks. And then I did filets on the grill with a gratin potatoes and peas. And then I really got trashed yesterday, guys. I had 5 Peronis. I was living on the edge.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, it was a rough one for me. Actually, no, I wasn't feeling that good, but we had a nice day yesterday. And then I seen that performance to bring in the new year. I was like, really? this is the start of 2017? But
that's crazy.
So what are you guys drinking this morning to get over your hangovers?
I have a Starbucks iced coffee going in one of my nice Turbis you know those insulated glasses they sell all around Disney World now? Uh-huh. We bought three or four of them when we were down there. I'm drinking out of a Animal Kingdom one that I found with a bunch of giraffes on it, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Johnny?
Just finished my press pot of coffee. Wife got me a press pot from the Disney store for Christmas. So
awesome. So you can have Kona all year, right?
Yeah, unfortunately it doesn't. It's good, but it's not quite that good. But I wouldn't want it to be that good. I wouldn't want it all the time. So yeah. But it's nice. Make that nice cup of coffee in the morning. So.
Now, what if you bought that brand of coffee? Do you have that brand too, from the Kona Cafe?
Yeah, no. The 1 pound bag of that Kona coffee in the gift shop downstairs is $45. So I'm going to pass it on that one for a little bit. So.
Now I wonder if you could go back. Back areas and find it through the interwebs of a cheaper price, like maybe the distributor that's giving it to them. You could find out exactly what the blend is.
Yeah, I know it was $44.95 in the gift shop, so that's okay. I mean, I like my coffee, but I don't like it that much.
John, you know what you might want to check? I know it isn't the exact Kona coffee, but I'm pretty sure that Joffrey's has a blend of Kona coffee. I don't think it's 100% blend, but it's one of the coffees I think they serve there. I know it's much cheaper than $45 for a pound.
Yeah, we found the Le Cellier one at the Joffrey stand a couple weeks ago, so I got that one. So as soon as I finish that one, I'm going to be looking for the Kona blend, and we'll give it a try.
There you go.
And what about you, Bob? What are you washing away the tears of yesterday with?
Washing away the tears with some of some of Dasani's best.
You're just having plain old water, huh? And I'm starting the day off with my cinnamon Starbucks as usual. Now, the thing I wanted to get into today, guys, is what's your thoughts on the whole new Magic Kingdom welcome show moving in front of the castle? What do you think about all that?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I'll go first since I started babbling first. But I was just reading that story when we were getting ready to go on the air here. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed only in that I think that's a very, very special show. And I think the use of the train and integrating the characters into it was always a very nice touch. And like I said, I thought it was a very special show. I think bringing it into the castle forecourt there, which again, I understand why they're doing it. In fact, we were talking a little bit about it on the last show with all the congestion in front of, getting into the Magic Kingdom in particular. It is, you know, a mass of people out there. So I understand it. And they did say they're going to open up some of the shops and allow you to, you know, probably use the bakery and, you know, those stores. But I think by doing this, they've really got rid of a very special show that, you know, not a lot of people have seen because it takes an effort to get up that early to get over there to actually see this show. So myself, a little disappointed, but I understand it.
Bobby?
All these years, we managed it once, just for what you just said. We do get to the parks really early, generally, but it is a little bit of a challenge to be there early enough to be before rope drop sometimes. So I understand it as well. I kind of like the idea that they're going to give you kind of free reign of, that whole Main Street area. If you get to the park early, it's a bummer to have to stand around sometimes just waiting to get through the gates. Mrs. All in WDW is thrilled because she can get a chance to get her Starbucks sooner. But at the end of the day, I understand why they did it. But it's a hell of a tradition to change. Does anybody know how long that show's been running?
I think since the start of the park, as far as I know, I mean, from all the back videos I watch, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think something had to do with opening that park with the train since for as long as I can remember. That's all I know.
Yeah, as long as that was going to be my answer, too. As long as I've been going to Disney World, I've been aware of it, and I, too, have not seen it. Maybe just a couple of times I've seen it, but I believe there's been some version of that show, like I said, integrating the train and all the characters, pretty much since the park's been open, I'm going to say.
And what's your thoughts, Johnny?
I've actually, It's not the crowd up front watching the show that drove me nuts. It was once that show was over, and then you have to. There's only two tunnels to get through. I've actually been in such a crowded situation where somebody knocked me over, and I ended up on the ground. So I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I love the train coming in. I love the characters being on the train. It was a really cool show. But if we're gonna be able to disperse the crowd a little more and be able to see the I don't know, to get a better view and not have that absolute madhouse that the Magic Kingdom becomes when the ropes drop. I absolutely understand why they have to do it. And I'm to the point, I'm actually kind of surprised that if this was becoming a problem, Disney just didn't get rid of it like they got rid of the other entrance shows at the other parks. You know, they used to have a show at every park, and they don't think Magic Kingdom's the last one. So they could have really just said, all right, it's becoming too much of a problem. We just don't want it anymore. And they got rid of it altogether.
John, so. They don't release the doves at Epcot anymore?
No.
Really?
No, actually, that became a big problem because there was some hawks hanging around. So.
Wow. I mean, I enjoyed that one, too. I mean, we stumbled on that one year, and it was a pretty nice show.
Hey, we just got to see Mary and I a few months back. We were at opening of Animal Kingdom for the first time. And we just got to see the show with all the tropical birds. That was pretty wild.
That's awesome, isn't it? I love that show. It's one of my favorite things that most people don't even know it's there.
So what do you think about it, Doug?
Well, you guys know I hate it. I'm very disappointed. I think if they wanted to disperse the crowds, they could have just opened up Main Street. And if you don't want to stay and see the show, you just go into the park and do what you got to do. Why don't they just start letting people in early then and still allow you to have the original show? And I also – and me and Den talked off the air. One of the things I am upset about is the way they do the checking in front of the park. It kind of takes away from the beauty of the park because you can't even get a chance. There's hardly any picture ops outside of that park anymore because of the way the security is. And it really – I wish they'd have gone about it different ways. I said on another show, and I've said off the air, I think Disney should start doing bag check back at the resorts in the parking lot. Like when you get – before you get on the ferry, they should have bag check there. How about they check you before you get on there instead of ruining the beauty of the front of the park? Because the park now with all those tents and bag check areas and all, tell me it doesn't look horrible compared to what it looked like 10 years ago. Don't all answer at once, guys.
Well, I wanted to pipe in and just, just add hashtag ranting means rating.
No, but you get my point. Wouldn't it be better, though? I mean, I don't understand why they don't do more checks throughout the parks. Like, before you get on the monorail, you're standing there at the Contemporary for, like, ever sometimes waiting for it. You're telling me they couldn't have a couple guards there that scan your bag? Once you're on the monorail, where are you going? If you get off at one of the other resorts, you got to get back on. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand why they don't do more of that. The Wilderness Lodge, as you're waiting out on that dock to get on those boats, that takes forever sometimes. I mean, I know it would cost Disney money to put employees at multiple areas, but I don't think it would be a bad idea to have a bag checker at every bus stop of every resort.
I think it's an excellent idea. I mean, at the end of the day, what are you going to pick up as you exit a bus in front of the Magic Kingdom or Epcot or anywhere else, to be honest with you? I mean, if you've been checked, there's a number of times where, just like you pointed out, we're standing around at Coronado Springs waiting for an Epcot bus to show up because, heaven forbid, they don't send five Magic Kingdom buses at a time. But we could easily have a bag checked there, get on the bus, and then be on our way. I mean, they have a cast member at bus stops anyway, just sort of keeping track of and reporting, hey, why did you not send an Epcot bus, but you sent five Magic Kingdom buses?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and like over at the Boardwalk, how many times, and at the Swan and Dolphin, all the resorts, how many times for the Friendship boats have you guys waited 10, 15, 20 minutes for a boat? I mean, you're telling me that's wasted time. If they spread this throughout the parks, it wouldn't be as much of a bottleneck at any of the parks. And with the Magic Band technology, they could scan your band, and if your band has it, the bag has been checked, it's good. When you're going through the turnstile, I mean, if your bag hasn't been checked, if it isn't on your Magic Band, then you ain't allowed through with the bag. I don't get it. I just think it would be better served.
you're adding a whole new level of Imagineering to the infrastructure of the parks, and I think they're really good ideas, but you only have one flaw, and that is that if you had to stand on that dock waiting for a friendship boat at the boardwalk, baking in the sun, and have a bag check, you'd be complaining about that.
But if I knew once I got to the International Gateway, I would walk right in without waiting in line, even though that isn't that bad usually. But if I knew I wouldn't have to wait in any line, I could just go right up and walk through the turnstile. I'd be happy about it. And the point is, I think the train show should be where it is, because how many people is going to really go in? I know I'm not going to waste my time, though. I won't even go to the only good thing is it might disperse the crowd when I finally get there, because I'm not going to go see another show in front of Cinderella's castle. I mean, can I see in front of the castle with Mickey Mouse?
But you add, not to hog up all the response here, but you do offer an alternative that maybe they did think of, or maybe they didn't, I don't know, but it's really an outstanding option if you think about it. So let's say you have a crowd of people that are getting there early enough that they want to be there for rope drop, but two-thirds of them decide they'd rather go roam around on Main Street or stop and get a Starbucks and wait for the show inside. The other third, the people who really want to see the welcome show, the traditional welcome show, how much effort's being put into that anyway? I mean, it's several actors, a little bit of the spiel, and then you're on your way. I mean, why not have the option to do both?
Yeah, it's just special because, I mean, I don't get to see it every year either. But when I'm roaming online, you know, we're all online Disney junkies. We're going crazy to find whatever we can. And at least once a week or once a month, I find somebody that has periscoped, or there's a video or something of the opening. How many times have you guys watched that opening online or on the internet or somehow? I mean, I will miss it not being there. I like it when our friends, the happiest vlog on earth, or one of them are there early and they record it for me. And it'll stop me from seeing. I just enjoy that show so much. And anything they take away from my train, you guys know I'm pissed.
Well, yeah, and I think it was the uniqueness of it, getting that many characters up to the gate and, you know, all arriving at the same time. I mean, you really can't duplicate that. I mean, I suppose they all can come out from backstage at the, Cinderella's castle or something of that sort. But I think you're right, Doug. The venue, there's so many, you know, stage shows already there, and they're always having some sort of entertainment. It's less special. It's just like you said, oh, another show. Mickey's going to come out and say this or do this or whatever, but it's the same old, same old. Integrating the train into the, the welcome show that we, the traditional show that we've come to know over the years, was unique. Just if only for that alone, using the train as a big part of it, you know, that's what it's missing, I think. So, you know, the uniqueness of it is gone. I see the downfall here.
And the other point I was trying to make too is, do you guys remember when, and then back in 97, John, when you were a kid, Bob, when you were going years ago, how breathtaking was it when you used to pull up to the Magic Kingdom? You'd see all the flowers there. You'd see a monorail roam in. You'd see the train pulling in. And the beauty of it. It was wide open. It was gorgeous. And now you pull up off the boat when you're coming from the boat, or all you see is all these tents. There's all this crap that's blocking the beauty of the park. I mean, I think they would try to go out of their way to – the whole thing that Walt always wanted was the show, the presentation. Am I wrong? And tell me everything that they've done now, and I understand why they had to do it. But now they're Disney. They should do better than having all this stuff just jammed in front of the park, in my opinion.
Well, you're absolutely right. I was having a conversation with either my daughter or somebody that was traveling with us last time. We were up at the Cali Grill, and we were outside on the outdoor deck looking down at the front of the Magic Kingdom. And I said to her, you know, I remember back going in 97, there was only, I'm going to say, I think two rows of, bus pickup areas there in the front. And there must have, I don't know, I counted 15 or 16, and it looked like they had some they had some provisions for more to come in. I mean, you're right, Doug. The front of the Magic Kingdom over the last 20 years has just expanded dramatically with boat launches and bus pickups and more concrete. And it's you're right. It's less, beautiful than it used to be.
It don't have the curb appeal that it used to have.
Right, right. Because I remember, I use 97 as my date. And I meant to say this on the show. But when I was a little kid, my grandfather took me to Walt Disney World. And early 73, somewhere in and around there, I remember very little of it. But I do remember the, I'm going to call them toperies, but the bushes and stuff like that all around the Magic Kingdom. And it's so much different now. It's just, and again, you said it, Disney World, it went back then, it was literally only, the Magic Kingdom and everything else was swamp. But, now because of the, millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people that go there every year, they've had to increase, infrastructure and parking lots and all that stuff that goes with it. So, I get it, but it's certainly not the the quaint little park that it once was, 30 years ago.
No, I just think they could do better with the guard area. What do you think, John? Do you agree? Does it look – don't you think they could do a better job with the way they're doing all the bag check-in and make it – because when you used to walk up and see the Christmas decorations, the pumpkins, all that stuff, it used to take your breath away. Now you barely even see that stuff because you're corralled into the entrance area. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah. I think part of that is just the way it was built. Back when in the 70s, early 70s when they built the Magic Kingdom, I don't think they had the anticipation of – having to put in security checkpoints and stuff like that. And I mean, it's there, so they have to do it. So they have to put it somewhere. And unfortunately, it's going to take away from, like you said, the curb appeal. But I really don't see, unless they did go to some version of what you're talking about, where they did the bag checks before you got on the transportation, there really is nothing they can do.
But wouldn't you feel more comfortable?
You have to get your bag checked.
But wouldn't you guys even feel more comfortable if the bags were checked before you're riding on the bus? How do you know what somebody has on the bus on your way there? If you really want to get down to it, I'd feel safer if they checked the bags before they even allowed them on a bus with me.
That's true.
Well, I don't know. The way all those security checkpoints are at every park and from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom and even over at the other place, Universal, I mean, the most crowded place you run into is the bag check. So if you were going to do something new, the bag check before you got up there would be the place to do it. You know what I mean? So that becomes especially at the Magic Kingdom, that is just that's a madhouse. That's why we haven't been there probably in 4 or 5 months, just because I don't feel like going through that bag check to get into the park. So.
No, it's sad. And I, like I said, I mean, I would feel more comfortable riding on a boat, a bus, the monorail, anything, if everybody's bags were checked before they're riding with me anywhere. Like, who's to say the idiot isn't on the bus before you get there?
Right.
That's my point. So, I'm not supposed to be safe until I get into the park. It's what you're telling me. Anything else goes. So that's my whole point behind it. And it was funny. You guys talk about the ramp, Bob. Last night I'm going on and on about all this stuff on TV before midnight. My wife goes, "You even got a rant before the new year comes in, don't you?" And I thought of you guys picking on me for my rant. So I even took 2016 out with a rant.
See, she understands. See, I knew she was smart. Ranting means ratings.
No, believe me, guys, there's no forced rant behind this. It just comes out natural. So you want to get into some other news then before I continue to go on about this subject and all of our listeners yell at me?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. Magic Kingdom has reopened all guests after reaching capacity. So last week on the midweek show, I think we mentioned that, or we kicked around the reasons that we thought that the parks hadn't reached capacity this holiday season. At least they hadn't when we discussed it last show. But according to this article here, I guess New Year's Eve was a date that one of the parks or Magic Kingdom did reach capacity. So I guess Disney got a little reprieve with the guests, and we were kicking around, why we thought that might have been. But it looks like late arriving crowds for the holidays this year that they, decided to go to the parks in mass, I guess, more towards New Year's than Christmas. So what do you guys think about that? I mean, it's pretty typical, right? I mean, it's nothing that would surprise anybody.
Did you see the video yesterday of people waiting to get into parking at 11:30. It was backed all the way up on what is that, World Drive? No.
Yeah, World Drive.
It was backed all the way up to the Swan and Dolphin to get to the Magic Kingdom. That's how far the traffic jam was. And so, and it always amazes me because I pass the same thing when I'm at work. I'm leaving Clearwater Beach, and there's people, you know, the traffic for 20 miles to get to the beach. There's no parking places at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Why are you getting to the beach, or why are you getting to the Disney World or the Magic Kingdom at 1 o'clock? You're not gonna have a good time. I mean, if you're gonna go, you got to be there at before 9 o'clock. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think you're gonna show up at 11:30 and park.
God, I'm sorry, Bobby.
I have to interject, John. Beach. Walt Disney, are you hiring?
Probably, yeah.
He has the life, don't he, guys? He has the life. But no, I mean, those people at 1 o'clock or that go at that time of the day, they're the people that nothing bothers them. They just go through life like floating through, like my God, my one godson, like nothing can get him barely riled up. Like he'll do stuff like that and he don't even comprehend why it's wrong. They don't care. It's like, if I'm going to do something like that, I'm going to be there at 6 a.m., you know, or 5, absolutely. Maybe, you know, make sure I get a spot. But they'll show up at 1, and they'll sit in line all day, and it just don't faze them. Like, we're just impatient, crotchety old men is what the problem is. We can't deal with crowds no more.
Uber planners, too.
Exactly. What's up next, Danny?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad to see this one. Characters in Flight is going to be closing for a redesign, which I think is a long time coming. The tethered balloon attraction will close on January 9th through to January 13th, reopening to guests on January 14th. Part of the refurbishment will include a brand new look for the balloon, complete with new color scheme. The original Characters in Flight was designed for Downtown Disney and is expected that the new look will be more closely aligned with the Disney Springs look. So what are we going to guess the motif is going to be for the new the balloon down there?
I'm thinking blue something. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's going to be a bunch of horses to match Saratoga Springs.
There you go, Bob. That would actually be good.
Yeah, Bob would be happy with some firecracker shrimp all over the balloon.
Oh, yeah. Now there you go.
Dan, the only way I could say that'll even be on your living list for Tuesday would be if you could go on it if it don't go up.
Exactly, and I wouldn't trust that it wouldn't either.
You're not getting on that. I don't see anytime soon.
That ain't happening. Who here now? Have you guys all done this, Characters in Flight? Or
no.
Yeah.
You've done it, Johnny?
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
Yeah, we caught a Groupon for half price. So me and my wife did it for basically 2 for 1. It was a lot of fun. I got some nice pictures of Saratoga Springs and the boats going around, and because you can see all of the lagoon there or the lake there in Saratoga. And it was a lot of fun, and we were there early in the morning, so we were the only people on it. So just me and her and the captain or whatever, the pilot, whatever they call the person that runs the balloon up. So
I think it's a pilot. I hope he's not a captain, because that means it's going in the water and you're going to have problems. Have you ever been on it, Bobby? Bobby's not answering.
No, actually, not yet. There's been one or two times where, you know, I got close to being able to do it. But, you know, a lot of times we get down there and there's like a high wind warning going on, so they don't have it going up in the air. I've gotten plenty of pictures of it. Maybe after they get this refurb finished on one of the trips we do in 2017. And might I add, maybe I'll be talking about it again on Tuesday.
There you go.
might make a couple of us. I really want to do it. Brenda's she's like you, Dan. She's a little afraid of heights. Like, she'll go up in a high building or whatever like that. Like, she'll ride the elevator. She does the Tower of Terror, but she's not comfortable with things like going out on balconies and, you know, where she could see down. She's not into that. So I got to try to talk her into it. But I think maybe a couple Barringer's White Zinfandels might do the trick to get her up there. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So, but I would like to do it. That's one of the things I really would want to do.
Yeah, I mean, like John said, I'm sure the sight lines are, you know, just awesome. I mean, you know, I'd like to, if I did go up and I wasn't afraid to, I mean, I'd want to go up at night, I think, and see, you know, all the lights. And, you know, I got to believe you can see all of the four parks or the major, you know, icons of the parks. And, yeah, it must be a nice view, you know, bird's eye view, literally.
I think it would be better for you to go up at night because it isn't as scary. You don't see down as bad. I think it would be better for you.
I worry about things like the deck on the bottom, the welds breaking or something like that. That's the kind of stuff I worry about. I'm not really worried about the, you know, the actual, you know, attraction. I worry about stupid stuff like, you know, the bottom falling out or something like that.
Well, that's like me with flying. I tell everybody it's not the flying I'm afraid of. The problem I had is that the captain finds out the co-pilot was cheating with his wife while they're up in the air, and he's going to take me down with him. That's my problem. I don't trust the guy flying the plane. I don't know him well enough. I need to get to know him. If I want to go up and meet the captain of the plane or the pilot of the plane before we take off to make sure everything's going good in his life, because he has my life in his hands. So I feel you on that, Dan. What's next?
Yeah, let's see. A big story here. The Cheerios are returning to Disney's Animal Kingdom.
That was a big story, man. Everybody was freaking out when they left.
Yeah, the popular fried dough pastry snack is available at Dino Bite Snacks in Dinoland USA, priced at $4.29 with chocolate sauce. Cheerios were removed from Disney's Animal Kingdom back in February of 2016. So, for all those Cheerios lovers, when you're visiting the Animal Kingdom, you can now get them again.
Who's a Cheerio lover here? Any of you guys? I really don't remember. I don't remember the last time I had one.
I've never even tried one, so.
Bobby?
Not a tremendous fan, no.
Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, I think that, honestly, the last time I have one, the only one I can remember having was actually over at Universal. Why, I don't know, but it was years ago over there, and it just stuck with me. I don't think I've ever had one on Disney property.
Maybe that's why you never went back. It wasn't that good, the churro. That's a bad taste in your mouth.
Too many other good things to have than to waste it on the churro, I think.
I don't remember. I think I had one back many, many moons ago, but I can't remember the last time. But there was a big uproar when that went away. There was tweets here and there about bring it back, and I was like, really? That's what you're worried about?
Well, there was that, and there was – I remember the cheese-filled pretzels was the big one too. They have
I missed those. Those were good. Those were really good.
Those are back at the Animal Kingdom, but they were gone for a while as well.
See, now know how you guys are seafood snobs, and we call Dennis a seafood snob and all? See, now I'm a pretzel snob, and we got Philly soft pretzels. This is what we're known for around here. So it's a kind of the same thing. Like, know how you have a problem with the rolls and the dough down in Florida where they talk about the pizza and all? Whenever we eat a pretzel anywhere else but home, it's like eating a foreign object. It isn't good. I don't know how to explain it. It tastes like it's a frozen pretzel. Like, you know how you eat Elio's Pizza or, you know, what are they? There's a couple different brands that you could buy, right. Del Giorno, whatever. And it's good. You can eat it. The Stouffer's Pizza. I like the French bread. It's good, but it's not fresh-made pizza. It's not like going to your pizza place, but it serves its purpose. That's how I feel about all the pretzels in Disney World. Because we're so used to good ones around here. Like, my wife, she don't want me bringing them in the house because it's like you won't stop eating them. Because we'll get them hot every once in a while in the morning. I'll go, we have Philly Soft Pretzel Place around the corner. Like, I don't know if you guys ever heard of them. Have you heard of that franchise?
Just from you. No, I haven't ever heard of them.
Yeah, there's a franchise around here in the state of New Jersey that probably has 30 stores at least, if not more. And they bake hot pretzels every morning at 6 a.m. You get fresh batch. You can go in. And they're phenomenal. So after you have that, going to Florida and grabbing these pretzels off a cart, it's like you don't even want to deal. It would be like you eating a frozen crab cake, Dennis. Come on.
Right. No, I know what you mean. It's true. I mean, you know, a lot of it's just for convenience. But when you have delicacies back in your hometown or whatever that, you know, are far and away above those, you tend not to want to get those. I mean, I try to get things, or I tend to eat things that I can't get back at home. Not always, but I, you know, whenever possible, I try to do that just because it's a special treat that I occasionally get, you know, once a year or sometimes even less than that.
I mean, they're such a big franchise. You guys ever seen that TV show Undercover Boss?
Yes.
They actually had the owner of that franchise on the show. I mean, it's a big company. I mean, they're growing. I think they're in parts of Chicago and different areas. They have been branching out. But I think it's the same problem they have, John. Like, know how you deliver the water to Via Napoli and all? I think it's the same problem with the pretzels down there. They would have to get some kind of water delivered for the bread of the pretzel. So
yeah, and then that would make the products overly expensive for just the pretzel. So yeah, I don't really see it happening. So.
But if you guys, one of these days you come up to visit, I'll get you hot pretzels and you'll understand you don't want that. They're okay at the Animal Kingdom, but I get it. If you haven't had the real stuff, I get it.
Okay. I never had a pretzel when I was up there, Doug, but I had plenty of Philly cheesesteaks, and you're correct about that. I can't eat another cheesesteak without just thinking about the ones I had in Philadelphia. So.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. And again, the same thing comes into effect. It has to do with the bread, too,
John.
Tell me that the roll wasn't one of the best roll you ever had.
Yeah, and it's hard to describe. I mean, it was so good, and it just made the sandwich absolutely delicious. So.
Exactly, and that's the same thing we have with the pretzels here, because what they do now is they even make pretzel bread, where we put every once in a while we'll get the pretzel rolls, and I'll do hot dogs on the grill. So you have the pretzel roll with the hot dog with a little bit of spicy mustard. Dude, if I could do it, if I wouldn't get in trouble all the time, it would be plenty more of that going on the grill, let me tell you. So, what's next, Denny?
Yeah, I'm going to read the story about the welcome show just to fill in some of the gaps. I know we talked about it a little bit, but so beginning, this is going to start January 9th, this switch in castle show, a welcome show, I should say. So, again, you get a few more days if you're heading down there or you're down there now, whatever, to check out the original show. But, it's going to start on the 9th of January, and guests will be allowed to enter Main Street USA area of the park earlier than the park's scheduled opening time for shopping and breakfast at the Main Street Bakery. At opening, a new welcome show will officially open the park for the day on the Castle Forecourt stage. A Royal Herald will appear to deliver a proclamation and welcome a few familiar characters to the stage, officially opening the park so, quote unquote, the magic can happen. The park's current welcome show takes place on the Main Street Railroad Station. More security screening has made the entrance area of the park increasingly crowded, and the existing welcome show causes significant crowds to gather at the entrance. Besides the additional shopping and dining time, the move should help to alleviate some of the congestion, making arriving at the park a more pleasant experience. And again, we talked about what our thoughts were on that, but that's the quote-unquote official release from Disney about what they're doing and all that good stuff.
I think it'll make a little more money too. They'll get people in all the stores because there'll be meandering around Main Street. So instead of just standing outside waiting, you get to go in and spend money. So because those cast members are already there anyway. It isn't like they're paying them to come in early.
Yeah, I mean, the bakery, I'm sure they got people working probably in the wee hours of the morning prepping for, you know, the morning's baked goods and all that. So you're right. If they, you know, have a cast member doing the register or two because of guests coming for that show, you're right. They're already there.
Yep, so they'll be making money off of Main Street. I think it has more to do with that than anything else, in my opinion. You know, this just puts a bad taste in my mouth. I want the train back. It's like it's like everything that we love is going away, Dan.
It seems that way. And like you said, now how many shows integrate part of the Disney transportation as part of the show? You know, I'm going to venture to guess not too many.
Exactly. Like you said, another castle show is not, and I started babbling about it. It's just not as special. It's just the same thing. Like, are you ever going to really stand there and watch that? I know I'm not.
To me, they all just kind of melt together. I couldn't tell you what the last three or four were. You know, they're just – you know, they all involved, you know, the Fab Five or, you know, somewhat some variation of that. And, you know, it's what's the flavor of the day. I know they did a Frozen one. And I think before that it might have been Tiana there, one of those, you know, movies. But you're right. They're all pretty much the same, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I get it for the kids, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's see here. The bookings now open for premium experiences at the Epcot International Festival of the Arts. The 2017. What happened here?
Would you do freeze up again?
I went ahead. The 2017 Epcot International Festival of the Arts gets underway on January 13th, offering 6 weekends of special entertainment and experiences. Disney will be offering premium experiences, and bookings are now open, including a 15% discount for AP holders, annual pass holders, and DVC members with select experiences. If you're either of those two things, you can book now by calling 407-WDW-PLAY. Disney Broadway Concerts, a concert series, will pair Broadway talent and favorite songs from award-winning Disney shows such as The Lion King, Newsies, and Aladdin. The dining package includes a 3-course meal or full buffet and priority seating at the 8 o'clock concert at participating Epcot restaurants. Prices range from $39 to $69 plus tax for adults and $23 to $41 plus tax for children. Interactive workshops. Workshops include gesture drawings class, watercolor painting, mixed media art, calligraphy, and floral arrangements. The interactive workshops are $39 plus tax each Friday through Monday of the festival. All workshops will be held in the Odyssey Festival Showplace. January 13th through 16th, on Friday, January 13th at 11 a.m., Magical Mixed Media Art, Rachel Eason, Boiled Books, create a magnificent mixed media piece utilizing boiled book paper and paint. We'll finish it off with a mat and some sparkle for some magical masterpiece to display. Then on Saturday, 11 a.m., they got gesture drawing class, Todd Bright, Disney animator, storytelling drawings. Come to learn the art of quick sketching from life with a Disney animator. Gesture drawing of people is a foundational practice for animators, storyboard artists, and directors. A single drawing can tell a story. Then on Sunday, January 15th, 11 a.m., floral arranging with a Disney floral and gifts designer. Imagine the pixie dust of possibilities as you design floral designers show you the how to make a little floral design magic. In this session, we will teach you the basic floral design principles and show you how to create a petite Tinkerbell-inspired floral arrangement. All it takes is faith, trust, and a little pixie dust. Then on Monday, January 16th at 11 a.m., Morden Makram, Sarah Stoff Fiber. Makram is the art of knotting rope to make patterns. In this class, you will learn basic macrame. I mispronounced that. I apologize.
That's okay. You figured it out.
Macrame knots of how to make a modern wall hanging. Fun for the whole family. There's a ton of these. I'm not going to read all these. There's literally 6 weeks worth of these. But, this kind of reminds me, I know I keep saying this, but this kind of reminds me of the old Disney Institute stuff where I know it's more on the art side, but they used to focus on a lot of these different things, kind of adult activities, although kids can do these too, obviously. But, there's some neat stuff here.
There's two pretty cool ones on the 29th and the 30th. At 11 a.m., The Art of Mixology. Eric Foster, Stockel Fine Wines and Spirits. Learn from top mixologists as you experience a hands-on cocktail-making workshop. Elevate classic cocktails by adding your own artistic touch and transform the simple cocktail to elegant using craft ingredients. That sounds pretty cool. And then they have another one on the 30th. I would really like this. I know Brenda would. Create your own animated flip book while learning the fundamental principle of animation with a Disney animator. Watch your drawings come to life. I think that would be really cool.
You get all over me yesterday for going to a football game and being at a bar a little before 11, and the first place you go is a cocktail class.
Well, I was reading it for you. I knew you'd be interested. I want to put this stuff that our audience is interested in, and you, Bob, I knew you would interact if I mentioned alcohol. I got an answer for everything.
The wrong impression.
No. No, buddy, I'm sorry. But no, these are all cool. Now, Dan, the day in this article, all these shops, are they're free, aren't they?
Yeah, they're free, all right.
No, they're all $39 plus tax for each of them, aren't they? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it said 39, and some of them I think are a little bit more depending on what it is, but start at 39.
Yeah, because you'll have to look at on the park map or the Epcot map, guide map, and get the prices. But there are some of these that aren't that I'd be interested in. I don't know if I'd be interested for the $39, but I'd be interested if they were just doing them like workshops around World Showcase as part of your day, which I think would be the right thing to do.
Right, right.
So, because what's going to stop you from peeking over the shoulder?
Get away.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure they're out in areas. Have you ever seen any of these when these are going on around World Showcase? They are confined. I mean, you could pretty much sidle up to it and get some of the information for free. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of the Odyssey, Pease and Carrots are down there again. They had some craft beer. They went in there to get some beer. Did you see that Periscope, John?
Yeah, or I don't see I didn't see the Periscope, but I saw the picture of the craft beer that he got.
Yeah, they were in there showing the place. I mean, how much longer can Disney allow that place to be that horrible looking inside? I mean, you go in there and it's like pitiful, isn't it? In the Odyssey over there, isn't it, John? I mean, doesn't it seem like they need to do something with it now, like immediately?
Well, yeah, that's the one we were in when me, you, and Dave had the beers. I mean, it's a horrible waste of space is what it is. And I wish it's in a beautiful spot. They actually have room to put a pavilion there, and it's kind of up on the water. So I don't know, put in a South Seas, Tahitian, some kind of a pavilion from the Pacific Ocean, you know, something like that. It would fit in there well.
Or even if they want to keep it like a brewery or some kind of a craft, you know, like turn it into like one of those, you know, the craft beer restaurants, a brewery, like you were talking about the other day, that Cigar City or whatever. Something like that where they do all the beers and stuff like that and have it like a restaurant. But they could also have it where there's 30 craft beers or 40. You know what I'm saying? And turn it in if they want to go that route. But even to throw the conventions, like, I'm sorry, I love Disney and all, but if I was going there to rent that place and I actually had the money to afford to rent that place, I'd be like, I'm not renting this hall. I mean, it's so disheveled looking now. Have you been in there in a while, Dan? Bobby,
you
want to use?
Yeah, I've been in there. And, you know, I was just thinking about while you guys were talking about it. I mean, I really just think they don't know what they want to do with it. I mean, obviously they could put in an awesome e-attraction if they chose to, or like you said, Doug, a fine dining, or it doesn't even have to be fine dining. It's just, a sizable restaurant with outside seating, and the location is awesome where you could have awesome views for illuminations, and, you know, the possibilities are endless. But, there's a reason why they haven't committed to it one way or the other, and I don't know what it is. I mean, the old fail-safe, I guess, has been that, you know, they do book it out for different events and people that, you know, rent the park out and stuff like that. But, I don't know how much money they're making on that or how often that happens. It is a waste of space. And I think John mentioned, you know, they could fit a whole country in there if they chose to add to World Showcase. So there's a reason why, we just don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe with this talked about, Epcot, renovations that are coming up, maybe they'll grab that at some point and do something. But it's always been in the state that it's been since I've been going to Disney, which is, you know, except for food and wine and a couple other times of the year, it basically goes, dormant.
Yeah, and it's sad because it's that building. I mean, and we've talked about this on other shows. There's so many buildings like where Honey, I Shrunk the Audience is. I mean, that thing is so dilapidated. And you have where Body Wars was. I mean, I'm sure this all has to do with what's going to become at the parks. But it is just so sad because I think that is one of the biggest prime real estate spots in that entire park. It's so beautiful. Like, the way the walkway goes over to it and everything, it's just cool. Isn't it a cool feeling when you're walking that whole area or over there? You feel like you're in the future. Is the way, you know?
You're over the water there, and you know, it's centrally located between Future World and World Showcase. I mean, you're right, it's like prime real estate that they're not, you know, maximizing their you know, dollar on, and I don't get it. I mean, you know, I'd love to hear some reasons why it is. I mean, it's, you know, I can't come up with one. We speculate all day long, but it remains to be underutilized, that's for sure.
Yeah, because if my company had the money to throw a party, and I'd walked around that building as the CEO, I'd be like, I'm not throwing it here. I'll go over to Atlantic Dance or go to one over Coronado Springs and use their banquet facilities. Contemporary. I mean, right. Why? I mean, the only thing it has going for, yeah, you get Illuminations, you get World Showcase. I get that. But it's like, I can't believe Disney allowed that building to get that dilapidated, that old looking inside, like that right. Used looking. It's just, what do you think, Bobby?
I agree. I mean, there's so, we talked about this on one of the past shows, or at least one of the ones I was on, where there's so many different areas in Epcot that are in need of being refurbished in one way, shape, or form. I mean, it's just, you know, we could go on and on. And we could imagine on and on what it is that might be able to go in there. And, well, this could become a 5-6 hour show.
Yeah, it really could. Speaking of future coming to Epcot, I seen this yesterday, finally, guys. I seen the Avengers Civil War. And that you seen that, right, Johnny?
No, I've got it sitting downstairs on top of the DVD player. I haven't watched it.
You got to watch it.
Dan, have you seen it yet?
Yeah, no, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's an awesome movie. I mean, just them guys fighting each other, and wasn't it very I laughed more than I thought I was going to. There was some really clever jokes in that movie, wasn't there, Bob, with Spider-Man and Ant-Man and all that joining the cast? I really enjoyed that.
I agree. I mean, it was just all of the Marvel movies I really, really enjoy. But it just seemed that and we just watched it recently. Our son hadn't seen it yet. And when we went up to Nashville a time or two ago, he and I sat and watched it. And, you know, it was just even great to see it a second time. There's a sort of a, you know, an emotional drama between Captain America and Iron Man that just sort of, you know, is laced and completely through the movie. But it's so great to see all of the different characters, some of them on one side and some of them on another, which you wouldn't normally have expected to see. And if you ever read like the backstory to it, and I have, it's pretty true to what Marvel originally wrote. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it brings some of the closure to Tony Stark's character. You learn more about his father. And it's just really cool. And I love the fight scenes with all the superheroes fighting each other. It's really cool to see how they out-manipulate each other. One's powers are used against the others. And the actual fight scenes in it were – it was a really good movie. And that brings me full circle again. How awesome would Ant-Man fit into Honey, I Shrunk the Audience Theater? I mean, it's like a no-brainer to me. Have you guys seen Ant-Man yet, either one, any of you?
Yeah, I have seen it, yep.
I loved that movie. I thought it was awesome. And there's so many jokes in that movie that would be awesome in the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience Pavilion. Don't you think, John?
Yeah, I love the Thomas the Train part in the movie. So, yeah, it fit in really well. And you would have the same, shrinking theme from the original movie. So
yeah, then he could even blow himself up, because know how he can make himself super big too.
Yeah.
And he could pick the theater up and do like the dog kind of did. I mean, there's like so many effects in that. And the train part with the electric train is funny. When that falls off the track, there's something about that scene in that movie that's just awesome to me. Do you agree, John?
Yeah, it was hilarious, because everybody's got that. I've seen the little train before, and then you can you stop to think, well, if I were the size of an ant, how terrifying would that be? So, you know?
Yeah, it just shows you how clever Disney is and how great, like, it, like watching movies like Civil War, Ant-Man, and Dory. The thing that is so great about Disney is the way they tell the story and the little things like that they add in, like that train. That makes everything special. And the same thing like like stupid things, like in Toy Story, how Disney writes, how they have his name written on the bottom of Woody's boot. Only Disney does that. Am I wrong, guys? Do you agree with me?
No, yeah, they're just, you know, they love putting little, you know, hidden, I don't know, what do you want to call them, markings or something like that. I mean, that's a whole thing. People look at these in Pixar movies in particular. I know the Easter eggs, and you got the ball there from Toy Story is in several scenes. I know that there's what is it? There's one particular car, I think, or that's in every movie. It appears in a scene. It's just it's neat that they do that stuff, though. It's kind of like a spinoff of the Hidden Mickeys. Yeah. The way I look at it.
Yeah, just the cherry on top of the cake, like all the little extras. Like I said, when you see Woody look at his boot and see his name on there, that's like saying that's the Disney difference. And that's why when I babble and rant and go crazy like about the park entrance, that's what drives me nuts, because that ain't anything Disney stands for with the way that looks now. And that's why I get upset. If I was going to Great Adventure and they had 50 turnstiles with guards and it looked like that, it wouldn't bother me in the least, because that's what I expect when I go there. But when I walk up to the Magic Kingdom, I expect my breath to be taken away. And that's how it always was up until the last few years.
And, yeah, but I would say, Doug, I mean, in fairness to Disney, this isn't something of their doing. I mean, obviously the tragic events of 9/11 foisted this upon Disney and every other company across the country. So they didn't calculate these massive crowds to be congregating outside of their theme parks. You know, it happened all of a sudden because of those events. So I agree that they could probably do a better job, but you're making it sound like they, you know, they're purposefully doing this to the guests, and they're certainly not doing that.
No, but the point I'm making then is it's they know what the landscape of the land is now, and they could do a better job of making my entrance to the Magic Kingdom stay beautiful is what my point is. That's all I'm getting at. Like, if they could build Avatar Land, if you guys seen the videos of that, I think they could figure out a way to make it more convenient for guests to go in and out of the park and still keep the beauty of the front of the entrance of the park. That's my whole point.
But the only problem with that is there's only a finite amount of, you know, land there. And it's pretty small when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, where the monorails come down and the boats come in and the people come from the buses. I mean, there's a patch of land there, and it is what it is. I mean, if you remember, too, for a while, I mean, they just started with these, what do they call it? The secondary security searches or whatever. I mean, it's even taken up more land. I mean, you know, we didn't have those even a year ago. They just added those. So they keep adding, you know, because they have to keep everyone safe. You know, they keep adding these things. And unfortunately, there's no more land to, you know, use for the purpose. No, at least I know, Doug, for the Magic Kingdom.
To compare it, Universal does have basically what you're talking about. There's one security checkpoint that you have to go through, and it's in the parking garage. If you park or take a bus, you have to go through it there. But once you're through that point, you go to City Walk, you go to Islands of Adventure, you go to Universal Studios, and you never get your bag checked again. You're through it, you're clear, mm-hmm. you're done, you know. And there are actual two paths from hotels that come up to that area, and they have their own security checkpoint there. And then there's a boat that docks from a couple of the resorts, and they have their own security checkpoint there. So there is no big mass of humanity right in front of the parks, but Universal's set up different. You know, they're set up more like Disneyland than they are Disney World. So, but it is nice once you got your bag checked, you can park or hop, you know, park hop and all that type of stuff without having to worry about getting your bag checked again. So.
No, and I think that's my whole point. I think they could do better. And I'm just being a baby, because I want my park to look nice. That's my favorite view walking in. I mean, seeing that train pull up makes me feel like a kid every time I see it. And then just break it, just the last few times, like when we got off the monorail the last time, I felt like a bunch of cattle being pushed into a corral to get my branding on my butt going in. I mean, that's what I felt like. I mean, I don't know if you got off the monorail lately and the way you got to funnel into the park in the morning. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like I said, you feel like a bunch of cattle going off to get branded. It's just not, you can't see anything. It doesn't take your breath away the way it used to. I mean, I remember walking up there, and you just couldn't take your eyes off of everything in front. Now you're just so in these little cattle chutes. It's just everything that Disney's not about. And I hope they eventually find a way to do a better job. That's all.
Right. I mean, even so, and the answer to your question is yes, I did arrive at the Magic Kingdom via monorail to go there a couple of times, and you're right. I mean, if you remember back in the day, you could get off the monorail, and you could kind of go any which way you wanted when you got to the bottom of the ramp there. Mm-hmm. Now they make you go all the way down almost to the water and walk in straight that way. So they're creating a bottleneck right there. And again, I understand why they're doing it, but that's a problem too, where you used to be able to, you know, pretty much choose one of 30, 40 gates or however many there used to be there. And you're right, it would just disperse the crowd out, and you could, you know, take family photos and that. I mean, you can't even take a camera out now. It's just no way. It's not worth it. You couldn't get a good shot if you wanted to. And I think I made the point. And if there is any lane that you can kind of see the front of the train station there, you got the photo pass people there, and they're using that. So the days of just a spontaneous, you know, family photo are pretty much long gone, at least at the Magic Kingdom anyways.
This is the first year that I didn't get a picture taken of my beautiful self in the front of the park. No, I'm just kidding about, you know, that. But I would always get my picture taken in the front of the park. And right. Now the way it's set up, you can't even, like you just said, you can't even think about doing that anymore.
Nah, you can't.
And then John is a local, and he hasn't been going there because he can't deal with it.
Well, especially with my wife in the scooter, it's impossible. I mean, the longest line we wait in, you know, you have fast passes for the rides and stuff, but I need a fast pass for the bag check because it takes longer to do the bag check than waiting in lines for a ride. So, yeah, I just don't – it's too aggravating, too frustrating to get in. So I'll go over to Epcot and have a beer. Thanks anyway. So.
Yeah, and even that now, like the Epcot cattle shoot, Dan, remember last time waiting for you to come meet with me?
Yep.
Wasn't that a pain in the butt getting through there? I mean, and I went back to look at you, and they grabbed me again and made me do it again. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I just
looked at you. You look suspicious.
Yes, they re-grabbed me and made me do the security. I had to do it twice going into Epcot.
They heard you. They heard your accent, knew you were from Jersey, so, you know,
I have to give Dennis and John a lot of props. I stepped away from the headphones for about 30 seconds, and they got you all worked up again. Good job.
Yeah. It don't take much to get me riled up, guys. So anything else? What's next, Danny?
No, pretty much that's it. Let's see. The last story we covered on the last show. So anyone have any news-worthy items they want to bring up to discuss?
I don't know if it's newsworthy, but just two things I wanted to maybe toss in there. One, and shame on me for not knowing this, but we had to renew our annual passes. They actually expire about 2 days from now. And I called and talked to Disney because I was getting the reminder emails. And if you guys know this, but not a lot of people would, the last 2 years, because we had the apartment outside of the Magic Kingdom, we qualified for Florida resident discount, which also included us being able to pay in monthly installments for the annual pass. Well, annual passes. So anyway, I had to call this time because we gave up the apartment late last year, and I knew I was going to go back to being just your everyday annual pass member. And, you know, some of the information they had emailed me suggested, or at least said, that, you know, there's different tiers that you can buy. You can buy like the Platinum Plus, the Platinum, Gold, Silver, and the Gold and Silver include some blackout dates that, quite frankly, when I looked at them really closely, I wasn't all that twisted and tied up with not being able to go into the park on the dates that were listed, a lot of them, which were in the summertime, June and July, because often Mrs. All in WDW and I will go to the world, and sometimes we don't go into the park. So anyway, I called fully intending to buy one of the lesser expensive passes in order to help make up for the cost that I was going from Florida resident to standard annual pass. And, well, the silver, the gold, those aren't available to people that that aren't Florida residents, which I found really curious. I guess they want you to pay full price for an annual pass if you're only going to come a couple times a year, because they don't want you to be able to select the cheaper annual pass and just plan your trip not in one of the peak seasons. So that was one of the things I was going to toss out on the table. Maybe you guys knew that already. It was news to me. And if it wasn't, then it's news to the listeners now that if you're a Florida resident, you have more choices of the type of pass that you buy, up to and including an evening pass at Epcot. And I think they're going to be starting that back up for Magic Kingdom. But if you make more than a few trips to Walt Disney World during the year and you're not local, you're forced to buy the more expensive pass, which in this case we bought the Platinum. So anyway, I just wanted to pass that along, or at least one of the things I wanted to pass along.
John, what do you you and Dan, you both buy your annual passes. I get mine through the travel agency now. Have you guys had any problems with that or any?
I'm a Florida resident, obviously, so we have the gold for ourselves and the silver for my son, because he doesn't want to go in the middle of the summer anyway. And the blackout dates for the gold pass, I think, are only the 2 weeks around Christmas and New Year's, and 1 week at spring break, and then I think there's one more other week right around the 4th or something like that. But that's it, so that doesn't really affect us. I would not want to be out at the parks today, so, it's just not doesn't look like a good time. So.
Yeah, and for us, that would have been perfect, John, either the gold or the silver, because, we could, for the less expensive pass, we would have been willing to bypass being able to go in during the summer. And really, the only things I wanted to be able to protect were opening weekends for both Food and Garden or Food and Wine, so that I could go there and enjoy the cuisine, and bring pictures to the listeners and readers as to what Epcot has to offer for each of the festivals. And since both of those were free, I thought, oh, geez, this is a no-brainer, until I called and I found out that we had to pay the higher ticket. That's okay. One of these days, we'll be local again, and we can go back to the monthly payment.
Now, Bob, did they know that you weren't a Florida resident anymore, or did you end up telling them that you weren't a Florida resident?
Well, John, I had to tell them, right, because, they send you the voucher, and I'll have to go to guest relations when we arrive.
Show your ID, yeah.
And I have to show them some proof of Florida residency, and, my driver's license is a Georgia license, and okay. The only proof I had before was my bill from Duke Energy. Now that I don't have that.
You should have asked Duke Energy if, for 1 month you could pay them $50.
Yeah, make a donation.
Yes, and give you a bill, John, or Bobby, you know what I'm saying? Circumvent the wheel.
Well, hey, I guess I'd be willing to try a lot of things. I don't know if that would have floated, though.
Yeah, maybe open up a P.O. box in Florida. Give them your P.O. box bill.
Yeah.
There you go. But what about you, Dan? Have you had any problems with your
bagels? No, we accept it. We get the DVC discounted one, so we usually get $100 off of isn't it $100, John, I think, off of a standard annual pass, I believe.
Yeah, right around it. There was a couple of years ago, the DVC discount was a bigger one, wasn't it? I thought there was one year where it was almost 200 or 250 off of the annual pass.
Yeah, they did away with that one this last time.
Unfortunately,
they were doing that. But, we typically, we go year to year depending on what our travel schedule looks like. We're generally annual pass holders, but there have been years where it hasn't worked out and we didn't renew and, we just let it lapse and then, picked it up again when we went down. But by and large, we take advantage of it because, to Bob's point, if you're going to go, I think it works out. If you're going to go, I think 9 days, 10 days, somewhere in and around there, that's the break-even point where it makes you foolish not to get an annual pass, even though, you know, it burns a hole in your pocket, and it may cause you to take an extra trip, which is a good thing in my view. You know, from a monetary perspective, it just makes sense rather than buying the, you know, park hopper tickets.
Well, do you know how much restraint it takes me to sit at home today and do eBay instead of getting in the car and going to
Right. But the only thing that's keeping you, you knowing how many people are there and what the lines are, right? That's the only thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. I wouldn't be able to do it today anyway, but no, in a couple of weeks. I mean, it really is test your willpower to
right.
say, no, I don't want to go. No, right. I got to stay home. So
yeah, wait till us three idiots move down there and start making you come. When we're there, you're going to know we're going. It's going to be
honey,
a problem.
Bob's there. But honey, Doug's there. But Dennis is over at the
We're just going to have
right
coffee. We're just going to have breakfast.
And don't you think Disney really – I don't understand either why – they just do the annual pass payment for Florida residents. I don't get why they don't do it for everybody. I think they would have so many more people with annual passes if you could make monthly payments on it. I don't get it. I wish I understood the reasoning behind that. Dan, wouldn't you wish you could pay monthly on yours?
Oh, absolutely. I would certainly – I would never let them lapse. I would just – you know, that would be a monthly bill that I would pay each and every month, and I'd just keep it rolling, you know, from now until I stop going. And you know, I would do that. And it would just make it more convenient. You know, and if only that's the only reason, just to make it more convenient for those of us that pay. Because, you know, if you have – you know, well, regardless of how many you have, whether it's just you and your wife or you got a couple of kids or whatever coming up with that whole nut at one time is, you know, that's a big chunk of change, and it would just give people a little flexibility if they, you know, were allowed to pay over 10 months or whatever it is.
I think it's because people would take advantage of it. You know, there's the family from Chicago that would, they're, you know, what, husband, wife, two kids, and they get the annual pass and they make their one monthly payment, come down and go to the park 7 times, and then go back to Chicago and then stop payment on
default on it.
Yeah. So that would probably be the reason why they don't do it.
I never thought of that, John. You're right. I mean, you hate to say that people would do that, but you know,
absolutely
right.
But what's to stop the locals from doing that?
The fact that there's no way that I'm going to, if you are a local and you're on vacation, I suppose you could do it. But, the fact that I know I'm going to go again, I mean, I always make the payments, and I would imagine most people do because they have a better likelihood of using it again. You know, the people from Chicago, maybe that was their one vacation and they're trying to justify why they should keep paying for it when they're not going to go again. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just, it would make it a lot easier on a lot of people.
You're not kidding.
So did you guys know it's Canada's 150th birthday coming up?
Yeah, I did know that. I was going to go out and get some Le Fin de Mon this afternoon and party up.
Nicely played.
That's just horrible.
You know, you didn't expect it from me.
No, I didn't. I thought you were on my side.
The nefarious Dennis Conway.
Yeah, did you see our good friend Judith? She said she put that on her living list, Le Fin de Mont. You loved that, didn't you, John?
Yes. I got everybody on my team, Doug. So.
Judith, I apologize right now because I guarantee you're not going to like it. So, John will reimburse the $10 for you, Judith. But
as
anyway,
long as I can drink it.
As long as you can drink it, right?
Yeah, no problem.
Anyway, from starting December 27th, which was a couple days ago, if you visit the Canadian Pavilion at Epcot, you can now join the celebration of the country's upcoming 150th birthday and receive a special button marking the milestone. For now until July 1st, 2017, commemorative buttons will be available to guests at Epcot's Canadian Pavilion. Everyone is invited to join the fun and answer questions like, what do Canadians call a $1 coin? Answer, a loony. And who's host Hockey Night in Canada, Coach's Corner? Answer Don Cherry and Ron McLean and receive a button. The Canadian birthday button are available at Epcot now through July 2017 while supplies last. No purchase necessary. So go get us some buttons, John, next week.
I had two or three. I've got some of them bouncing around the house. I'll see if I can get some more. But, yeah, I'll probably grab some more next weekend. So.
Oh, so you already got these buttons?
Yeah, they were actually out there a couple of weeks ago when we were out there But I grabbed a couple, but I didn't send them to you guys because I didn't figure you had any interest in it. It's Canada. So I was going to send it to some of my Canadian buddies. But, yeah, I'll send y'all guys a couple if you want. So.
No, we'll get them. Wait till you have another park map or something like that. We don't want to just send a button out by itself. But, you know, I do like it. It is cool. It has mouse ears on it. Why wouldn't I like a Canadian button with mouse ears on it? We're geeks, man. Thanks. Do you see, Dan? He don't think that much of us.
Yeah. I was just sitting there thinking. He said his Canadians buddies. So, buddies, he does another podcast with three other guys from Canada? Or the time?
No, I just know some Disney geeks that are Canadian. So.
Ah, okay.
No, I would. It's a cool-looking button. Have you seen the button yet, Dan? Bob, have you seen it?
No, I have not. I have not.
That's actually pretty cool.
I haven't either.
No, I want it, John, but you don't have to send it special is what I'm saying.
Do you want it in French or English? Because I think they have both.
Well, if I want it in both.
In honor of La Fin Demande, I think you should send it in French.
Okay.
I'll pour a little beer on a La Fin Demande on it. I bet it takes the paint right off the button. I did use that the other day, you know, to clean my paintbrushes at La Fin Demande. It did a really good job.
This podcast has become the biggest commercial for Unibrew Brewing Company.
<I know. laughs> Any publicity is good publicity, I suppose, right?
Well, as long as they send Moosehead out, I'm good. I don't want any La Fin Demande. But no, everybody's on board with that. Even Brian from over at Peas and Carrots is constantly showing, they're sending pictures of La Fin Demande now.
Yep.
It's like I'm starting to feel like nobody likes me anymore. I think Dave Koch started all that.
I just had another great idea for a team t-shirt. WDW Main Street, all in WDW, and then have, we'd have to get permission, I would suppose, but nice collection of La Fin Demande and say WD Main Street Pub's beer of choice.
Yes.
There you go.
No. Not yet. not even a little bit. I, as president of the bar – And part owner, La Fin Demande will not be in the bar as of right now. John, you guys are going to sneak in after hours and put the tap in, like you did a few months ago that I had removed.
John, I think we're going to have to talk offline later because I think we can make these t-shirts without him knowing. We can even distribute them through the. You could distribute them through the parks, and he'll never be the wiser. By the time he gets down there the next time, everybody will be wearing it.
I would laugh at that though. You go ahead. But if you guys are you guys excited about your living list on Tuesday? Do you have them done yet?
I haven't started. I mean, I have many things, you know, bumping around in my head that I've been on my mental list for years, but I have not put them to paper yet. So I need to do that, obviously, fairly soon. But no, I am looking forward to it because we always mention living lists when topics come up and, you know, to actually put it down and start, you know, actually start doing it, which I am going to start doing next trip. I think I'm going to just make a note on my iPhone, and as I do them, I'm going to, you know, mark them off or delete them or whatever and actually start doing this stuff because you never know. You know, I want to get some of these things done, you know, while I still can and I'm able to and, you know, maybe even get up on that balloon. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll have to get you up there, get you a little lit at the boathouse, and then we'll take you up. As long as we do hors d'oeuvres, we're not sitting down for entrees, right, John? Just going to do hors d'oeuvres and a couple beers.
I'm going to have a couple oysters and the firecracker shrimp, I think. I think I'll skip the entree. So.
Yeah, we kind of blame you for not having – I still can't believe you didn't have the firecracker shrimp. I mean, I don't know.
$48 was enough for me. I didn't want to add – and then I added two oysters on there, so that's – that's a $60 meal for me. That's way too much, though. And then to add another $14 on top of that for myself, that's a little bit above and beyond what I usually do. So.
Well, next time, a couple oysters, some firecracker shrimp, get your wife a couple of the sliders, have a couple beers, and move on.
That's what the plan is, absolutely.
So, but now I have my I bet you already started yours, didn't you, John, your living list? I guarantee that, right?
I got mine bouncing around in my head, but I haven't put it down on paper yet.
Oh, I'm shocked at that. Bob, have you? You've gotten yours written down, don't you, Bob?
I have a list written down. It may be a little bit to the borderline of of calling it a WDW living list, but let's just call it a Disney living list.
And yeah, see, I have pretty much mine. Our friend Judith, she has 20. You see her sending them over to. She was going off on it. She didn't want to stop at 10. She went to 20. And she goes, "Do we have to stop at 10?" I said, "With the four of us doing it, if we did 20, it would be a 17-hour show."
Yeah, yeah, I got to work.
Yeah, but she probably wouldn't mind.
No. And I feel bad for her that she does like listening to us. But no, I'm looking forward to doing it. I think there's going to be some very – I think we'll have some I think we'll all have a lot of different things because there's a lot that we haven't done. As many times as we've been down there, there's a ton of stuff that I couldn't believe when I started looking into it. I could spend a year there and to get this stuff in, it seems like.
Yeah, and I always look at it
– on your lip. Maybe that should be on your list, spending a year there.
There you go. Good, Danny. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I always look at some of these things. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I always say, well, I'll do it next time. And it's not that I'm afraid to do it or, you know, I feel I have to do it or it's exciting, but it's just something I just keep putting off because I just think it'll always be there next time or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen this happen where shows close or, you know, you think, off kilter or something like that. I mean, it wasn't the case for me, but there may be people that would said, well, I'll see them next time we come down. And, you know, something happens and in between trips, they're gone and you never get to see it. And you know, those are some of the things that, you know, I have on my list that, you know, I think you mentioned when we talked about this last time, Doug, like even riding Dumbo, I've never done that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it something I absolutely should do? I mean, probably as a Disney fan and, you know, a guy like me riding that, you know, probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, you know, I think I'd hate to get 20 years down the road and, you know, think back on it and say, wow, I never did Dumbo. So, you know, something like that is something I want to get checked off the list and, you know, just do it to say I did it. And there's probably dozens of other ones like that example of Dumbo that, you know, will be on my list that I hope to, you know, pick off in the coming years.
Well, the fun part about
Dennis,
that
if you
is...
end up as a...
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, if you end up as a grandfather within a couple of years, I have a feeling Dumbo will be checked off rather quickly.
True.
So.
True that. Yeah, that's true, John. So, yeah, maybe just by changes in how we tour with, you know, pending grandkids coming in the future, we'll take care of some of those things. But, you know, again, you never know. I mean... Well, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but, like, you know, I've never played on one of the courses down there, golf down there. Now, you know, maybe we can make it happen with us guys or something at some point. I don't know if all of you have played down there or not, but that's something that you have, Doug. Yeah. You play a couple many times, right?
Yeah, I love golf, and, you know, I love it down there. So with you knuckleheads as a foursome, I would love it even more.
I can hear you ranting about my game already. So yeah,
I can hear him ranting about his game already.
Right. See, now golf, I never really loved golf. I played years ago, and I don't really play now. But just what you know, John just said, I'd love to play. You know, with you know, foursome, the four of us would be awesome. I think it would be hilarious just to get out there and, you know, hack around and. I'm sure we'd have some stories to tell after that, and you know, it'd
be
great.
That sounds like a great time. We really need to work on that. So,
John, I'll make you a deal. You and I will share a cart, and we'll just drink and let them play.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I can probably handle that one too.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, guys. If you get on my favorite is the Lake Buena Vista course because it's a Riverside deal, like the whole that whole area. And I remember the very first trip when we were going down the Sascoula with taking the boat ride to Disney downtown Disney at the time, and my wife it was early in the morning, it was like 11 o'clock, we were heading down, and she seen the course and we're going through the course, and she goes, "You got to do it, don't you?" And that was at the peak of my addiction to golf. And I seen that one hole when you go, it's on the left-hand side, Dan, you know what I'm talking about, right before you get to the first bridge.
Yep.
It's a beautiful par three. It sits right there. And I seen that, and it's like, and nothing was better than when you're doing that course, when you're riding around and you seen at the time, you could see old, you know, you go by old Key West, and you know, now you would see Saratoga. Now you see Saratoga and all, but it's a behind the scenes kind of look. And when I was out standing on that green, looking at the water there, it's like, this is why, one of the other reasons why I work all year. It's just beautiful. Just when I'm sitting there getting ready to make a putt and there, or tee off, and there goes the Friendship boat by. It's like, if I'd have had my iPhone at that time, that would have definitely been a selfie, you know. And you know, but you're right, then there's things like that that you, even if you play horribly, it's still the experience of being there.
And that's what I was trying to say. I mean, I don't play regularly, so, you know, I don't even think I'm going to keep score. But just the fact of getting out there with friends and, you know, hacking around and, you know, having a good time, I think would be awesome in itself. Whether, you know, you don't have to be a scratch golfer to do this is what I'm saying.
Oh, but, well, you know, I mean, me and my wife both shot 18 below par last week. Oh, wait, that was, yeah, that was the Winterland golf course. Okay. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I actually, the last time I played there, I shot 91 from the blue tees, which is pretty good for that course.
Oh, man, I don't know if you want to play with me then.
No, John, it was 91 for nine holes.
No.
Okay, all right. That's more realistic. Now,
one thing I am a good athlete, guys, and I am a good golfer. Just been a while for me, too. Well, I would look forward to that. We'd have a good time, and no Le Fin de Mont in our cart then.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The first tee, when the beer cart comes up, it's going to be full of Le Fin de Mont there.
Now, I'll set the tee time up. I'll set the tee time up. We'll get off at 7 a.m. This way we're done by 11, and we can go over to the Springs, and they can have as many beers as they want.
Yeah.
But we ain't going to start at midday.
I can't play golf without a beer, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, maybe that's why you're...
What is he talking about? I've never played golf without beer.
Exactly. What is this?
Maybe that's why you're having a problem with your game, guys.
All I know is when I go golf and I bring at least 3 dozen balls with me and I rarely come back with any, so that tells you about my game.
Exactly.
No, but I'm looking forward to it. The living list is going to be a lot of fun. It'll be fun to have the listeners, like with Judith getting into hers, and it'll be fun seeing ours. I'm going to read Judith's top 10 off on our list on Tuesday night, and we'll make her a little part of the show, and I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been bragging about this. If we can, Bob, maybe we can get you to post it on the site. Then this way we could check them off, you know, as we go along over the years. What do you think? We could figure something out like that?
No, of course we can.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And John, as much as you live there, and you all the time, like you just said, you ain't been in the Magic Kingdom forever. There's so many things on your living list, because the other thing we get attached to is we all have our favorites, and it's so hard to vary from the plan that we have, the way we usually do things down there, because you're like, I'll get it next time because I have to have the bangers again, or Dan, you got to eat at the California Grill every single time. And it's kind of like we keep doing these same things, and eventually we're not going to see the other stuff that we want to do.
Right. Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And I was just sitting there thinking, I mean, if, you know, when we're locals, or even if we committed to a future trip, I mean, you know, it's easy to say, hard to do, but could you do a trip or plan a trip or even a long weekend, whatever it might be, but not eat, you can't eat anywhere that you've ever eaten before, or you can't stay in a hotel you stayed at before. You can't take a mode of transportation that you took before. That'll be a little more difficult.
Yeah,
but
that would
you
be,
know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? If you, could you have the discipline to do a trip like that and totally do as much as humanly possible, something different that you've never done at Disney World or the parks or whatever, I think that would be a fun challenge, and you'd probably learn a lot and, you know, probably have a real good time doing it.
Yeah, one of the things that on the last trip that was good, that as far as I could do a lot of things that I wanted to do that I wasn't feeling like I was making Brenda do, or you understand what I'm saying, that she didn't want to do. And, you know, and I did get to eat at a couple different places and did a couple different things. But I think we try that a little more than you, but it is hard not to do the same stuff over and over again, because when you fall in love with what you like, it's hard to leave what you want to, you know, you like it. So you don't want to go try that Le Fin de Mont and hate it when you know you could have had another good beer.
Right. I'm not making excuses for John, but I mean, to me, he has it easier because, you know, except for, you know, this week and next week, pretty much. He can go anytime he wants. Or, you know, again, his budget has to line up and all that. But, I mean, I think he has an advantage in that he can make these small trips or short trips and do things like I just said that he's never done. But I've got to believe if I, you know, being there, you look at it differently. Like, I think it's harder for us because generally we save up or
it's
we
time.
Go once a year or twice a year if we're lucky. Yeah, and, you know, you're saying, no, there's no way I'm going to Disney World and not getting bangers and mash and then knowing I'm not going to have them for, you know, likely 2 years if I don't get them when I go down. So that's a huge commitment to not get them and eat somewhere else, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the last trip, it wasn't planned. It just worked out where we were there and there was a reservation and we went in. But
right.
And John, because Mrs. Peter's down there. She don't want to go nowhere else, and John won't fight her, so because he'll just keep going to Epcot over and over and over again, won't you, John?
Well, let's see. If I can go to Epcot, we can just walk around and experience the international folks and get a couple good beers, and yes, and be relaxed, as opposed to waiting in line for every
bad way to live.
Yeah, Epcot's a much more relaxed environment. Right? Yeah. So, given the choice, I'll take Epcot anytime. So.
Yeah, it seems like that's where you end up at all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's
hard
my
to get
point.
Away from it. We went to Hollywood Studios a couple of weeks ago, and we had every intention. I had three fast passes lined up. We had every intention of staying there a good portion of the day, and we stayed about an hour and a half, and we were bored out of our minds, and the crowd was everywhere, and all right, time to take the walkway over to the International Gateway. So.
Yeah, but really, you were underneath really thinking, just give me a reason to leave here, you know? Somebody cut him off in line, and that's it, I'm out of here.
We went over there with the intention of meet and greet with Dr. Strange, because I really wanted to do that, and that wasn't open on the weekend. I got mad, and off we go to Epcot. So.
Right. It didn't take much to get you to leave.
That was it.
No, and that's my point. Even when you are local, it seems like you still get set in your ways where you refuse to – like John thinks he has all the time in the world because he's even more of a culprit than we are because he feels like he has all the time in the world, so he continues to do the same things over,
right.
over and over again.
Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, I have – bird show out at Animal Kingdom. You know, it took us – the last 10 years I've been meaning to see that, but every time we go to Animal Kingdom, I'm just like, well, yeah, no, it's not starting right now. We'll just catch it next time we're here. And
right.
That happens the next time and happens the next time. And we always end up putting stuff off just with the intention of seeing it next time. But a lot of things just never get done. So we made sure to see the bird show finally last time we were there. So.
Yeah, Flight's a Wonder. Get it right, you know,
not the
bird show.
It's the bird show.
No, but it was an awesome show. Aren't you glad you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable. And now they're going to, shut it down for refurb on the auditorium. So I'm glad we saw it. So.
No, I can't. That's one of the things I can't miss. We loved it last trip, and I can't wait for our living list. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. It might make John actually do something different. Besides, there better not be anything in Epcot. I don't think there's anything left at Epcot you haven't done.
Yeah, there is. I'm going to put it down, too. So.
Oh, jeez. That'll be his excuse to go back every time, and he'll not do it, just to get back in there. Yeah, I want to turn a rock over in International Gateway. So.
No, it's one of the attractions. One of the attractions at Epcot I've never done. So.
Oh, jeez. No, we're at the guest app, but we'll do it on Tuesday. This has been a lot of fun, guys. If you could, please go over to It's All in WDW, read our latest articles. We'll have our living list posted on there when we're done it on Tuesday. You can find some of our past shows over there. But please head over to Facebook and follow us over there at WDW Main Street. Give us a couple of likes over there. Head over to iTunes if you could and leave us a review for the new year. We'd appreciate that. You can follow Dennis at Grumpy. You can follow me at Grumpy6767. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor, John at Beer Solo, and the Weekly Pint. And you can find Bob at It's All in WDW. Please, guys, have a happy and safe and healthy new year. And we will talk to you real soon.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Bob, you going to sign off? There you go. Bye, guys.
There's a
great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow is just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away. Every day there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.